Generally speaking, spiritual relationship has some prerequisites whose fulfillment can lead to such a relationship. It is obvious that whoever wants to have relationship with God and imams should purify. himself and cut his soul off anything but God. The more he cuts his soul off earthly things, the more he will be connected to heavenly world. In other words, when a person cuts himself off all earthly and materialistic things and all creatures but imams, he has reached the level of perfection and detachment from world. However, it doesn't mean deserting people and living alone, because living like a hermit is not recommended in Islam. Rather, it means detaching from materialistic things to connect to God while living among people. How can we have a spiritual relationship with Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him? To find the answer, stay with Brilliant Star. How can we have a spiritual relationship with Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him?
Imam Ali, peace be upon him, said in this regard, connecting to God demands detaching from people. He said somewhere else, you will never connect or relate to God unless you cut yourself off his creatures. Therefore, if we pin our hopes to nobody but God, and if we resort only to Him and consider Him the only force effective on everything, we will have spiritual relationship with Him, and this spiritual relationship will lead to union with Him. It is cited in Usul Kafi that Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, if you want to be endowed with anything you ask God for, you should give up your hope from people and pin your hope to God only. When God knows that the asking person has such a condition, He will endow him whatever he asks for. Permanent detachment is one which happens continuously, and the connected person has constant relationships with Imam Mahdi and other imams. Here are some of the characteristics of permanent detachment. 1. In permanent detachment, there is no specific place and time as in other types of relationships, especially in temporary spiritual relationship. The person who has such a relationship never neglects remembering God or imams, whether asleep or awake, during the day or at night, in private or crowded places. Such a person remembers God and imams, especially Imam Mahdi, in every circumstance. These people who always remember God and recite His name are described by God in this way. Those men who neither merchandise nor sell hinder themselves from saying Allah's remembrance. Number 2. As it was briefly mentioned before, this relationship is the best way for being in touch with Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him, willingly and being guided and advised by him. Number 3. It is worth mentioning that every person in the world can have permanent relationship with Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him. However, people have deprived themselves of this relationship due to their negligence of God's and the Imam's remembrance. For the same reason, this relationship is not usually seen among people except at the time of Imam Mahdi's advent, which is the time of human beings' true living. Chaste imams, especially Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him, are the friends and beloved ones of their Shiites and lovers. We must express our affection to imams because this expression of affection is a religious necessity. We should make this friendship permanent and satisfy this affectionate friend and father of ours, that's to say Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him, in order to have a permanent relationship with him. The most important factor in detachment and relationship is obeying orders of God and Imams, which are conveyed to us through religious necessities and forbidden acts. In a letter to Sheikh Mufid, Imam Mahdi advised Shiites to do some acts which take them nearer to Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him. Any of you should do something which makes him nearer to our love and affection. And he should avoid anything that we don't please and leads to our rage. Therefore, if we remove the obstacles between us and Imam Mahdi, which are created as a result of our sinful and satanic attributes, the relationship will become bilateral and will lead to our spiritual relationship with Imam Mahdi and other Imams, peace be upon them.
At the night of the 15th of Shaban of the year 250 after Hijrah, one person was born that he is promised to reappear and will fill the world with justice. He was Imam Mahdi. When he born, he at the year of 255, after 5 years, at the age of 5 years, as a 5 years old, when his father, Imam Hassan Askari, died, Imam Mahdi became Imam. One of the topics about the Imam Mahdi is this topic that how he became Imam in 5 years old.
Is it possible to become an Imam at the age of 5 years old? I mean, can a boy of 5 years old be an Imam?
Yeah, it is a very important question. Of course, usually 5 years old cannot understand so much. But by divine desire, even a baby can speak, can declare that he is a prophet. If we refer to Holy Quran, Quran in Maryam chapter mentions the Jesus. When Jesus was born, people gathered around Maryam, peace be upon her, asking her that, what is this? You didn't marry, and what is this baby? And Maryam referred to his son, and he was a baby. And Jesus, at that time, spoke and declared that he is the prophet of God. If we refer to Holy Quran, we find a story of Jesus cited in Quran, mentioning that he became prophet when he was baby. According to this holy verse in Maryam chapter, Jesus says that, "Lo, I am God's servant. God has given me the book and made me a prophet. Blessed he has made me wherever I may be, and he has enjoined me to pray and to give the alms so long as I live." According to this holy verse, Jesus became prophet when he was a baby. And it is possible so that one person became prophet and recite God's verses and behave as a one preacher and propagator for God. Other examples we can find in Islamic history. Imam Jawad alayhi salam, when became Imam according to the Shiite idea, he had 7 or 9 years old, according to historians. The scholars of the time gathered and wanted to try and test him. Yahya ibn Aksam, one of these scholars, asked Imam Jawad alayhi salam a tough question from jurisprudence and different questions. Imam Jawad alayhi salam responded in detail that every people at that session could not understand how such a boy in 9 years old can answer this scholarly questions.
Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him, his name and nicknames. Imam Mahdi's real name is Muhammad, the same name as his great ancestor, the Prophet, peace be upon him. All the historians and hadith narrators believe that the Prophet himself chose this name for him. He has a lot of nicknames, including Mahdi. It is his most famous name, which means a person who is guided by God. Imam Sadiq said in a hadith, he is called Mahdi because he will lead people to something they have lost. Qa'im. It means a person who rises up in the way of justice. The Prophet said in this regard, he is called Qa'im because he will rise up after his name is forgotten. Why is Imam Mahdi called Qa'im? And why do some people stand up when they hear his nickname? In many hadiths, he is called with the nicknames Mahdi and Qa'im. At the time of Imams, it happened frequently that Imams remembered Imam Mahdi as a result of the governor's oppressions towards them. The Imams used to say, our Qa'im will take our revenge. Qa'im means a person who rises up. Since Imam Mahdi's uprising and movement is universal and unique throughout the history of human beings, he is called with his nickname. Muntazar. It means a person who was waited for. Imam Jawad was asked, why is he called Muntazar? He answered, because he will be absent for a long time, and the people who love him will wait for his advent, and the people who disbelieve his absence will deny him. Baqiyatullah. The word baqiyat means remnant or what is left from something else. The phrase Baqiyatullah is mentioned both in the Quran and in hadiths. It is mentioned in the Quran just once in the story of Hazrat Shu'aib, peace be upon him. Since Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him, is the last and greatest revolutionary leader after the Prophet, he is one of the clearest manifestations of Baqiyatullah. Hujjat. It means argument or reason by which we can persuade or defeat the opponents. Prophets and their successors are called Hujjat because God can show his argument to people by their presence. They are also an argument which shows that God exists. Their behavior and words are arguments which show that people need a divine rule. In Shiite viewpoint, Imam Mahdi is the last argument of God. For the same reason, he is called Hujjat bin Hassan Askari. Khatam al-Osiya. One of Imam Mahdi's nicknames is Khatam al-Osiya, which means the last successor of the Prophet, peace be upon him. This name was first mentioned by Imam Mahdi himself when he was a baby and talked at that age. Of course, this nickname is also said about Imam Ali as the successor of the last Prophet.
One of the advices that we have from the Imams during the time of the occultation is prayer for the Faraj, Dua of Faraj. Have we ever thought that why it is important for us to perform these supplications and Dua? The philosophy of Dua and supplication in general in our religion is many times I find misunderstood. Many of us, when we think of dua, when we're told to do a certain dua, we try to look for a mafatih or another book of dua. We see it says that on a particular night we are supposed to say a certain dua. That becomes a ritual. On Thursday nights we're supposed to do dua kumail. Tuesday nights come, we're supposed to do dua tawassul. Friday morning comes, there's dua nudba. Friday evening comes, there's dua samat. On Laylatul Qadr, there's dua jawshan kabir. On the night of the month of Ramadan, there's a large collection of dua. We think that these duas work like magic spells. The same way that in movies we see or we hear that the magician says a few words and something happens all of a sudden, then the du'as that we have are similar. There's a certain wording that we find there that we're supposed to read. It starts with, let's say, Ilahi Azum al-Bala, for example, and it ends with a few words. And once we end that du'a, then there's supposed to be an effect, like abracadabra. Is that what really du'a is about? Is du'a really like magic spells? The essence of du'a is something else, brothers and sisters. We have two types of du'a and supplication. There's a lot of different aspects of du'a. I want to expand on one of them very briefly, and that is, in this case of du'a al-faraj, one of the important aspects of the du'a is to introduce the Imam to us. We don't really know what it means for one to be an Imam, do we? Have we ever thought of that? Do we know what are the different dimensions of an Imam? We hear infallibility, we hear this, we think that there are these magicians, al-ayadu billah, they have these powers and this and that. That's not what truly the Imam is. We have to have a deep understanding of the Imam. If we want to be preparing for the coming of the Imam, one of the very important aspects is knowing the Imam, having a better understanding of the Imam. And one of the aspects of reciting the du'as that we have, and the supplications that we have for Faraj, is this. We find that in these du'as, there's a lot of information about the Imams. For example, Dua al-Nudba starts with the whole history of Prophets, and then the history, a bit of it, of our Prophet, and what happened after the Prophet left this world. And then we talk about addressing the Imam in certain words that we need to pay attention to those words, not just read them, not just feel that the voice that is reciting this, since it's nice, that I'm supposed to cry and I cry. No, understand that what we are addressing our Imam with. That is information about how to know your Imam. One of the very interesting du'as that we have from Imam al-Sadiq about the time of the occultation and the du'as to recite is a very short du'a that it says, Allahumma arrifni nafsak. فَإِنَّكَ إِنْ لَمْ تُعَرِّفْنِي نَفْسَكَ لَمْ أَعْرِفْ نَبِيَّكَ اللَّهُمَّ عَرِّفْنِي رَسُولَكَ فَإِنَّكَ إِنْ لَمْ تُعَرِّفْنِي رَسُولَكَ لَمْ أَعْرِفْ حُجَّتَكَ اللَّهُمَّ عَرِّفْنِي حُجَّتَكَ فَإِنَّكَ إِنْ لَمْ تُعَرِّفْنِي حُجَّتَكَ ضَلَلْتُ عَنْ دِينِي. It says, O Allah, please make me aware and knowledgeable of you. For if I don't have knowledge of you, I will not know your prophet. O Allah, please guide me to your prophet and let me know who your prophet is, because if I don't know him, I will not know the hujjah that you have. And O Allah, please guide me to who your hujjah is, what type of a person he is. That if I don't know that, that I am going to be misguided. Well, this dua, the appearance of the dua is one thing, but pondering upon it and the understanding of who truly the personality of the Imam is that we can get out of this dua, or the other du'as, du'a al-ahad, and the rest of the du'as that we have, is enormous. It's a treasure for us to explore about the knowledge of our Imam, which again, I like to emphasize, is a key component of preparing for the coming of the Imam. We ask Allah to hasten His return, and we ask Allah to enable us to be His companions.
The way Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him, gains victory. One of the questions raised on Imam's rise is that how and by what means and facilities is he going to gain victory over the universal powers? The industrial development and unprecedented technology, accessibility to nuclear weapons, and other ever-increasing and astonishing advancements on the one hand, and fighting with swords and primary ancient weaponry, as mentioned in the narratives, on the other hand, raise this question in minds that how one is going to win using the primary ancient weaponry while his enemy is armed with nuclear weapons. Is Imam Mahdi's victory achieved by fighting and military power, or by something else? If it's by fighting, with what military facilities and technology, and by what means and techniques? By means of miracle and marvel, or by ordinary and usual methods? The brief answer to it is that Imam Mahdi's triumph is not through sheer miracle, but through ordinary techniques and with divine endorsement and help. Because if God wills the victory of one of His servants, all the plans, schemes, and facilities of His enemy will be applied against the enemy himself. And eventually, the victory of Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him, will be possible and practicable, both through military and armament, and also through other ways. And it's an ordinary task. The detailed answer is that neither is this question a new one, nor is the rise of Imam Mahdi a new rise before which no rise of the type has happened, because the rise and revolution of Imam Mahdi are the continuation of the rise of the divine prophets. Every prophet that was chosen at any period and that rose for general guidance and reform, considering the quantity and military armaments and material facility, was weak, as compared with his enemies, but actually won. Advanced technology, powerful armaments, and strong army won't be useful alone. The history of the wars of the Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him, is the best testifier. For instance, the Prophet left Medina along with 313 people, not with the intention of war, but to confiscate the commercial properties of the Quraysh caravan as a quid pro quo for the damage the pagans had done to the Muslims. On the way, they made up their minds to fight while they had only 70 camels, which they mounted in turn, two horses, and six handles of swords. But they knocked out a fully armed military force, destroyed 70 of their celebrities to death, and took hostage 70 people. One of the divine occult allegations was that he was going to fill the hearts of the believers with stability and fortitude, and that of the disbelievers with horror and fear. Soon I will cast horror and fear on disbelievers' hearts. The rise of Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him, is the continuation of the rise of Prophet Muhammad, and he is God's last trust and supply. Therefore, he will use modern and advanced tactics no one has ever used, and the followers of that Imam will fight with the same spirit of the followers of Fath, and his enemies' hearts will be filled with terror and fear. And the innocent Imams have said in this regard, our riser will gain victory through the fear that fills the hearts of his enemies, and he will be testified by the divine victory. Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him, and his companions bear the merits of the night and the lions of the day.
I introduced this website because you didn't think that Shia is exactly have some activities in Iran, or Iran is the central region for the canon of the activities of Shia in every corner of the world. No, no. We can see, we can visit a lot of activities, a lot of studies and sources about the Imam Mahdi and Mahdiism in other countries that I introduce you in this website. I mean the website of almuntazar.com, www.almuntazar.com means awaited one. I will introduce you the center which actives about Imam Mahdi and Imams, 12 Imams, but I want to tell you something that to research about Imam Mahdi we need some special resources. One of them is website, because I want to tell you something about Imam Mahdi and Mahdiism from the point of view of Shia. When I tell you about Shia, you will think the Shia is special for Iran, Islamic Republic of Iran. No, no. I want to introduce you a center, a website, which is located in Mumbai, in India. The foundation of Association of Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him, Mumbai, India. It has many activities about Islamic topics, Islamic the means in the calendar, Islamic calendar in the country of India and the Mumbai region. But it has a special menu, a special label which its editor actives and tries to introduce only Imam Mahdi under this label. I mean one of the Islamic month, Sha'ban, the birthday, the 15th of Sha'ban, the birthday of Imam Mahdi. Okay, in this site you can visit, you can read some articles under the title of Sha'ban, which the editor and the director of this site prepared for visitors of this site. For example, he introduced the kitab, some special kitab, Mahdism books. One of them is Kitab al-Ghaybah. One of the title you can visit in this website is Fulfillment of Divine Promise.